Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Will you please join me in the unison prayer for illumination? Let us pray. God of wisdom, open your word to your people today. And open the hearts of your people to your word. Let us receive the truth as your Spirit is speaking to the church, trusting that it will nourish and strengthen us. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 21. Listen to God's word. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall extol your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. They will recount the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. The second scripture reading is from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 15 through chapter 2, verse 9. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, please join with me in the spirit of prayer. O holy and gracious God, may my words this day be your words, and may your words take root in our hearts and minds and souls, that we continue to build the community that you have promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's usually a moment in a big project when we stop and look around and wonder if it's worth continuing. We begin with hope and excitement, with energy and vision, imagining this finished goal. But somewhere along the way, the excitement dulls or the frustration kicks in, and whatever we are working toward becomes harder to see. Maybe it's a home renovation project that is still half done, or maybe it's a project at work that you keep putting off. Anyone here know what I'm talking about? Any of us currently in the middle of an unfinished product? I appreciate your courage. Or maybe it's an entire church community like ours learning how to rebuild and reimagine ministry together after a global pandemic. It's in those unfinished places where we long for God to meet us with a reminder that our story isn't over yet. Well, that is if we haven't given up already. It is too tempting to believe that unfinished work will never come to completion. That maybe we shouldn't even try because what's the point? That's exactly what the people of God are navigating in today's passage from the prophet Haggai. Before this part of the story, 86 years before this part of the story, Babylon invaded Jerusalem, destroyed the city, tore down its walls, burned the homes, and destroyed the temple, which was the sacred center of life with God and a symbol of God's presence among the people. When Babylon conquered the city, everything that held that community together seemed to be destroyed, and the people were exiled. For 70 years, they lived as strangers away from their home. Then, under a new ruler, King Cyrus of Persia, they were finally set free and allowed to return back to their homes. But when they returned home, it was to a land scarred by war, with fields overgrown, their homes in ruins, and there was a constant reminder around them of everything that they had lost. And so the people began rebuilding. But each of them focused on their own survival. The people repaired their own homes. They replanted their own crops. And they built up their own families. Rebuilding the temple, which was a symbol of the communal life in the presence of God, rebuilding that temple seemed like a luxury that they couldn't afford. And we can't blame them because destruction was all around them. When their resources felt scarce, their instinct was to protect what little they had, turning inward rather than toward the shared work of the community. For 16 years, this went on. For 16 years, the community focused on only themselves as individuals, as part of the community, rather than the community as a whole. And so God sends the prophet Haggai to remind the people that the temple's restoration wasn't just about the building itself. The restoration of the temple was a symbol of restoring relationship and identity and ultimately trust in God's presence, or really in God's abundance. And so God calls them to begin again as a community. Not because any of them felt like they had enough, but because God is enough. And when the people finally began their work on the temple that rose from the dust was not what anyone expected. It was smaller and simpler and humbler, more humble, than Solomon's grand temple of gold and cedar, the temple that they remembered. In fact, the book of Ezra tells us that some of the older priests and leaders who remembered this first temple wept with grief when they saw the foundation of this new temple. Think about it. You mean there were people in the church who missed how things used to be? People in the church who longed for the good old days? People in the church who thought this new thing that was happening would never measure up to the old thing? It's hard to imagine, right? Surely this doesn't still happen in the church. But in all seriousness, this kind of longing isn't a flaw. It's part of being human. It's what happens when we meet change. The people who wept did so because they remembered the beauty of what had been. And honestly, that's something the people of God have always done across generations and across centuries. We grieve what's been lost, even as we try to build what's next. And yet, it was in this new temple that God called greater. This new temple they were called to build would be a glimpse of the world God promised, a place where presence mattered more than grandeur. The people learned again how to live as if there would be enough, because there was enough. The people had been broken and scattered, were now learning to trust again. It was in their courage to build something, even though they felt small and they felt they didn't have enough. And it was in their willingness to believe that God's Spirit was still dwelling among them. That new temple was greater because it was born out of faith rather than fear. And we know something of that fear too. These last few weeks, we've been seeing headlines and stories that have left so many of us uneasy, specifically stories about food insecurity, news of delayed or reduced SNAP benefits, families wondering how they're going to stretch whatever is left in their pantries, and parents making impossible choices about how they might feed their children. And while I know most of us in this room have been feeling that anxiety and worry when we read those stories about those families we'll most likely never meet, we should recognize that our fear does not compare to their fear, the fear of a parent looking into the eyes of their hungry child. That fear is deeper and heavier. That fear is greater than ours. And our hearts ache because we recognize that no one should have that kind of fear. That ache is just another way that the Spirit is stirring within us, reminding us that we can be part of a better future that God has already promised. And we experience these holy moments already here and now. A couple of weeks ago, our neighborhoods looked a little different as we celebrated my favorite holiday. Kids, and some of us adults, dressed as superheroes or princesses or ghosts, and we ran from door to door, laughing and shouting trick or treat. And while I know that not everyone celebrates Halloween or not everyone loves it as much as I do, that's okay. I can't help but notice that for one night of the year, we live out something that the church has been trying to get right for thousands of years. Children come to a door, they knock, they ask, and they receive. No one is turned away. No one has to prove that they deserve it. No one is asked whether they're really from that neighborhood. No one has to qualify or show papers or prove their hardship. There are no tests. There are no hoops to jump through. Simply we ask and we receive. And the people are prepared to give happily and abundantly, without holding anything back. For one night of the year, we act as if abundance is the norm. When for most of us, abundance is the norm. Friends, unfortunately, most days we live as if generosity might leave us empty. But on Halloween, we remember that giving feels good. Generosity builds up community. Joy is multiplied when it is shared within a community. And when I watch children at those doors asking and receiving, laughing, and knowing that good things are coming, I can't help but think of Jesus' words from the Gospel of Matthew. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. On Halloween, we catch a small glimpse of what those words look like in the real world. It's a glimpse of the better future that God has promised through Haggai. It's the same promise that was born in the rebuilding of the temple made by the same God. This promise is a world where fear gives way to trust and where scarcity yields to abundance. When we move from fear of scarcity to trust in abundance, everything begins to look a little different because scarcity leads to isolation, while abundance builds community. And if we can catch these small glimpses of God's abundance in the rebuilding of a community, in people who share whatever they have, in porch lights that stay on, in doors that stay open, then what's stopping us from building toward that better future now? If we believe that these glimpses are a world made possible, then maybe that next faithful step is to look honestly at where our own time, energy, and resources go. Are we helping build the kind of world God is building? Or are we individually rebuilding our own smaller temples of control and comfort? These glimpses of abundance matter because they show us what God is still doing and what God is still inviting us to join. The temple, the open door, the open hands of generosity, these are all signs of God's kingdom already breaking in. So friends, we must take courage in that kingdom breaking in, and we must keep building toward community. We must keep our hands and our hearts open because God is already here. God's presence is already here. And that peace and prosperity that God has promised is still coming. Maybe it's not all at once, but through us, as we live and work toward the future God has promised, then we can live into a community that shares abundance, and fear will not have the last word. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.